say to the visitors who are on the call this morning who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and distinguished guest of our audience. We pray you open your Bible and follow along with me as I teach from the Bible. You know, yesterday we had a young man that obeyed the gospel. He was born again of the water and the Spirit, baptized into the Church of Christ. The Bible teaches there's only one church in the Bible, and it is the Church of Christ. And the way you become a member of the Church of Christ is that you hear the gospel that Jesus died on the cross and suffered, bled, and died for you. You believe that with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And upon that baptism, then the Lord will ask you to read by the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. And so we're thankful again to have you on the call. It's good to have our brothers and sisters across the nation. We have many of joining us this morning. Thank you that you chose to be with us on this conference line to hear a word from the Lord. Aren't you thankful that God says faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Even a blind man can obey the gospel as long as he got ears to hear and be obedient to what he hear, what's in the scriptures, what said the Lord. That's what we're going to study from this morning. But James Lord, the gentleman that obeyed the gospel yesterday, he was washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we're thankful for him and Mercedes who bring to him his and share with him the gospel. He obeyed. Hope he's on the call this morning listening. We'll welcome him to the Church of Christ. So let's get started this morning. I continue our study of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 11 is where we're at this morning. Verse 19 where I start. The hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord was with them. So the disciples now have witnessed the Gentiles, have obeyed the gospel. In Cornelius in Acts 10. And so something very special is getting ready to happen here in Antioch. Verse number 19, the Bible says, there they which were scattered. We know this scattering took place in Acts 8, 4 through 5, after Stephen's death, when Saul was threatening the church and havoc, and the church scattered and went into their homes to protect their lives from the persecution of killing those who were in the way. That time was known as those in the way, the disciples. They were scattered abroad upon the persecution, see, that rose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none, notice this now, but unto the Jews only. Unto the Jews only. It's important to note as we talk about this important change that's going to take place in Antioch. And so this is important for us to know even today how relevant it is to understand. According to Acts 17:26, God made of one blood all nations, all nationalities of people. So God don't see Jew and Gentile. He don't see black and white. What God sees is one blood. He don't see that the Chinese are different from the Japanese. And we all got the same blood. And what's more important than that? Everyone has a soul. And that's why God sent his son to save souls. Now, regardless of color, nationality. But in this case, they were focused on the Jews only. And they were teaching him. Because Stephen's death happened before the conversion of the first Gentile. We found his name was Cornelius. In verse number 20, the Bible says some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, and which when they were come to, notice, Antioch. This is key right here for this study. Antioch. When they come to Antioch, he spake unto the Grecians. Notice this. Preaching the Lord Jesus. And the Grecians were Jews who spoke the Greek language. What are these disciples doing? These disciples who have obeyed the gospel in Jerusalem, were scattered about. Now they're preaching Jesus, preaching the Lord Jesus in a world that we live in. What is Brother Brooks doing as a minister or as the evangelist of this congregation? What should we be doing as disciples of Christ? Preaching the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, watch what happens. I want you all to see what happens when we preach the Lord Jesus. And the Lord, the hand of the Lord, verse 21, was with them. That's where I get my title. The hand of the Lord was with them. That word hand there is used to denote aid, protection, or favor. Aid, protection, or favor. If I was going to protect my children, I would grab them in my hand and hold them, protect them, and give them favor as a father. If I saw them in danger, my hand would go to work to protect, to aid them. If I saw them in danger, get them out of the water, to get them out of the street, to protect them and give them the favor of a father, the love of a father. And what I want to emphasize through this lesson is that God will aid, protect, and give favor to those who are his. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, as long as we preach Jesus and stay away from man-made doctrines or our personal opinions and feelings, the hand of the Lord will be with us. The hand of the Lord is with the Harlem Heights congregation, no doubt, as we are reaching nationally and even globally now. What are we doing? What are we doing through our programs from our congregation? We're preaching the Lord Jesus. And because we preach Jesus, God is providing to us favor. What does that mean? He's given us the opportunity to reach these precious lost souls. If you're a member of this congregation, you should note this as a great opportunity. And you should feel very blessed to be a part of an outreach such as what we're doing. Because that's what was going on here. These people were reaching out with the gospel, with the preaching of Jesus. And notice what happens. When they did that, the hand of the Lord was providing them favor. And as a result of that, the Bible says a great number believe and turn unto the Lord. If we preach Jesus and not preach Brother Brooks or preach self or preach anything else, as long as I preach Jesus, people will believe. People will turn from their sins unto the Lord. The turning is required by the individual who hear the preaching of Jesus. The turning is a decision that you have to turn your life into the hands of God. That way, the hand of the Lord will be with you. To turn, you must hear the sad story of a father's love and the sad story of the only son suffering on the cross for you. And when that permeate into your mind, you see God's love beyond anything else. You can see God's aid to you as a lost sinner. You can see God's protection to the saving of your soul. And yes, you can see God's favor, his grace. Because greater love had no man than Jesus, that he would lay down his life for the friend. God commended his love toward us, y'all. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Christ died. And long we preach that to people, they will believe. We repent. Be willing to make a confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men. And be baptized as commanded by the Lord. How do I know when you preach Jesus, you preach his doctrine? This is how I know. To preach Jesus is to preach what Jesus said, preach. That's why in the churches of Christ, we only speak where the Bible speaks. And we're silent where the Bible is silent. In 2 John 9, the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, notice this now, in the doctrine, which means teachings of Christ, hath not God. God's hand won't be with us if we leave the teachings of Christ. And when you teach Christ, when you preach Jesus, you must preach for people to be saved the way Jesus said. What did he say? Well, in Matthew 28:18, he told his disciples, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Mark 16:15, the Great Commission, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, notice, and is baptized shall be saved. So they who believe, those who believe turn in repentance, such as they did in Acts 2:38. When Peter preached to the Jews, they said, men and brother, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You got to turn, then obey what the Lord has said do. So the disciples in the Bible never preach some of the things we hear men preach today, such as accept Jesus as your personal Savior, or pray the sinner's prayer, as we hear Franklin Graham often say on national TV in a one-minute commercial. He said, if you want to be saved, repeat after me this prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. I accept you as my personal Savior. I invite you into my life. And Graham says, you're saved now. So go find your church. Well, Jesus never said that, you all. And no matter how kind, how nice you may say it, how loving you may say it when you say it. And this is mainly to visitors. And you may have had someone who taught you that. And it's good people in all churches. But good people don't go to heaven. It's people who obey the Lord. The people who the hand of the Lord is with will be to those who obey him. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was obedient. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Note this, to all them that obey him. So obedience is doing it the way God said. The danger is following what man say, and God never told nobody to pray a sinner's prayer. No, they preach what Jesus taught them to preach in the New Testament. And that's the same thing Brother Brooks is going to do. We're going to preach, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, when you're preaching Jesus, that's what you're preaching. This is exactly what we should be doing today as disciples of Christ. As long as we do, the hand of the Lord will be with us. Let's go back to Acts 11, now, verse 22. The entirety of these things came unto the ears. I like that, to the ears. Jesus said, if any man hear my words and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man. And so here we are. The ears is where we hear the information. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. So these people was hearing. The ears of the church, notice this, they were listening, which was in Jerusalem. Those in Jerusalem got the word back, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Something's going on in Antioch. That they got news that got all the way back to Jerusalem, where the apostles are. It's good news when we hear that people are turning unto the Lord. Do you know the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that turns? Over one sinner that repents? Why don't that be you this morning? Whether you're a member of the Lord's church, you need to repent and come back home. Or you're a visitor who need to turn and obey the truth and be baptized on this morning. Become a member of the church you can read about in the Bible. I know when people respond, there's a thrill of victory for me when I see people responding. I miss walking, seeing them walk down the aisle as I extend the hand of the invitation. As I extend that invitation, people walking down the aisle have been baptized, repenting, and turning. No greater joy for me than to witness the turn of men. No greater joy for me to see young men who I teach that obey the gospel and their whole lives change. And then they are faithful, becoming teachers, preachers, and elders in the Lord's church. Sisters who are changing, becoming faithful sisters in the Lord's church. No greater joy for those who loved God and those who want to see souls saved is to hear that people are obeying the gospel. That's one of the things that I'm getting a lot of calls about. A lot of donations sent to us online because people, members of the church who love souls, love outreach. They love to hear the good news that souls have been saved. So here's the apostle in Jerusalem hearing about all these souls being saved. The apostle then sent Barnabas from Jerusalem to check out what's going on. Something we should do. Make sure whatever we support is going to be something that's going to benefit the saving of souls. And Acts 11:23, who when he came, talking about Barnabas, had seen the grace of God and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Here's Barnabas. He gets down there in Antioch and he sees the grace of God. What does that mean? In Titus 2:11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, and we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What's going on in Antioch? What is it that Barnabas sees? What is he glad about? This good man saw the grace of God. He saw salvation come to those who were lost in their sins. For he was a good man, verse 24 says, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And much people was added to the Lord. He encouraged him after he got there. Stay with the Lord. Cleave unto the Lord. And this morning I encourage every listener to cleave to the Lord. Stay with God. Obey him and never leave the Lord. Yeah, Barnabas was a good man. But what he was full of was the Holy Ghost. He was being led by the Spirit. He was full of faith. In other words, he believed wholeheartedly in Jesus the Christ and the salvation plan that he had given these people in Antioch. Oh, yeah, the grace of God is a saving grace. Not grace alone, but grace that produces faith, an active, obedient belief. And where is that at? Well, we need to know that belief is in this book that we call the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And so, in order to be saved, your faith must be actively activated by the Word of God. When you hear it, you believe it. When you believe it, you obey it. I'll say it again. When you hear it, you'll believe it. When you believe it, you'll obey it. Why? God gave it to you by grace. It was the grace of God. That's why we have a hope for eternal life. That's why we can be saved. Grace was on the cross. Jesus was grace. John seen him coming. Behold, the Lamb of God. It would take away the sins of the world. Jesus was grace and truth. And so when you look at Jesus, you see grace. When you look at the cross, you see grace. Because Jesus was a gift from God. He gave it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Who is that grace that we're talking about this morning? What was it that Barnabas saw? That he was the Word, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. In verse 14 of John 1, and the Word was made flesh, dwelt among men, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, notice this, full of grace and truth. There it is. What's the grace that we want today? Is a grace that saves us, that we don't have to obey anything, we just save because God loved us. The grace gave a command that we are to hear the gospel. And grace was truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was full of grace, John 14. He was full of truth. Salvation is only in Jesus. So they knew that. This is what Barnabas knew. Barnabas, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. The Bible says in verse Acts 11:24, when a person obeys the gospel, they will be added to the Lord. And the book says here, much people was added unto the Lord. Now that's important to note as well. When people turn to the Lord and obey his commands, they don't join the church. Now, we heard that growing up. You probably heard that many times yourself. But I want to say that no one in the Bible joined a church. The people in the Bible who were Christians were added to the church. There's a difference. You can join a man-made organization, but to be saved, you have to obey Jesus, and then the Lord will add you to the church. How do you know that, Brother Brooks? In Acts 2 and 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added. Who added? The Lord added. Notice who he added to. The church. Daily, such as should be saved. That's Acts 2, 47. It says the Lord added to the church. Now in Acts 11, 24, it says the people added to the Lord. Now, let's put those two together. To be added to the Lord is to be added to the church by the Lord. So the Lord adds those who are saved to the church. To be added to the Lord is to be added to the church. How can this be done? Only by the hand of God. It's God's doing to add to the church. It's God's hand and favor coming upon a person when they obey the gospel. See, you can't separate the Lord from his church. So when he said add to the Lord and add to the church, that's the same thing. Why? Because the Bible says it's the Lord's church. Which church? The Lord's church. Which Lord? The one Lord, Jesus Christ. How can we find which church? Well, you go back to what's written in the New Testament. What did Jesus and the apostles talk about? Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, up on this rock, I will build my church. So Jesus plainly said, the church is mine. Not Tommy Brooks, not Barnabas, the Barnabas the third. It's not Boniface, excuse me, the third. Not John Smith, not John Wesley, not none of these men who started the modern day denominational church. These churches that were started by men is not the Lord's church. That's what you need to know. And we need to know that. Which church should I be a member of in order to have the hand of the Lord with me? Which church will the hand of the Lord add me to? Which Lord will add me there? Jesus Christ. Now, if we know who the church belongs to, whose name it wears, then we'll find the church. In Romans 16:16, the Bible says there, it was called the Church of Christ. Romans 16, 16, salute one another. Greatest salutation ever given. With a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. The congregations of the churches of Christ all over the world. What keeps them together as a part of the Lord's church is when the hand of the Lord is with them. It will only be with them when they teach the doctrine or the teachings of Christ. When they're preaching Jesus, they're not adding to it, neither are they taking from it. Everyone understand this, that the Bible teaches clearly, if any man add unto the words of the prophecy of this book, God would add unto him plagues that are written in this book. If any man take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God would take his part out of the book of life. See, God never gave us the right to take from his word or to add to it. I just quote a Revelation 22:18 and 19. That's what it teaches us. That's why, Brother Brooks, even though people may listen and not like what I say or what I'm teaching, it's about my soul. I cannot take a chance to add something that God didn't say to make you feel better. I can't take away, because if I do, God will add plagues to my life. He can take my name out of the book of life. Anyone who respect God's word, any preacher, male or female, that respect this book, will not take away or add to it. You know, women preachers who will respect God's word, they would never tell. They would never be women preachers. You know, Bible teaches, 1 Corinthians 14, it'll be silent. 1 Timothy 2. It will be silent. It will not be preaching. Any man preaching today would not tell you to call him reverend or father. They couldn't do it. That's add to or taken away from the word of God. So which church will I preach about if I preach from this book? One. How many? One. Which one? The Church of Christ. See, some people, they want Jesus. But they want Jesus their way. They want Jesus, but they don't want his church. They want any church. They want to say any church will do. Well, that's okay if you're going to rely on the Constitution for your guide to get to heaven. But remember this. Constitution can't stop death. And Constitution wasn't written by no man, by God, excuse me. It was written by man. It was man who said any church would do. Man says any God would do. You know, man says okay to be an atheist. Man says it's okay to be a worshiper of Satan. Should we listen to what man says? Well, my friends, I think you understand what I'm saying. If we're going to listen to anything, it should be God's word. Go back to Acts 11, there, verse 25. So then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. And he goes to Tarsus to seek Saul. Y'all remember Saul, right? Saul was persecuting the church. We know him as the Apostle Paul. We read about how God had to take him on the road to Damascus. His conversion took place. Ananias went to him. Acts 22:16 said, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. So this is the same Saul that was standing there that day when they stoned Stephen. And he started making havoc of the church. Yeah. See, this is the same Saul that we know as the Apostle Paul. Now, so Barnabas, knowing that Paul was a Gentile, Barnabas went to Tarsus to get Paul to go with him. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Something special going on here. See, the hand of the Lord is with these people. Something getting ready to happen in Antioch that hasn't happened before. This is something we need to remember as well as we study the Bible. That what happened in Antioch had not happened. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. With church? The church, the word, the Savior's name. Which church? The church of Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is salvation any other. But there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So he's departed. Saul is with him. They get there and they start assembling the whole church. They're coming together. And notice when they're assembling together with the church, taught much people and the disciples. Here it is. Here's that event. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's real important for us to know. Barnabas finds Saul, who recently converted, and he now is a preacher for the Gentiles. In Antioch, they assembled with the church because there were none other churches. Something else you need to know. You don't have to add. They didn't have to ask what we have to ask. Which church did they assemble with? Well, there was nothing but one then. There was no such thing as attend the church of your choice. But they assembled. They assembled. What had happened? They had been scattered. Y'all remember that? They had been scattered because of the persecution that was going on. Because they were killing Christians. So the apostles scattered them, sent them to different places. Many of them went into their homes, kind of like we're doing right now, to protect themselves from persecution. They were killing those who were called Christians. And because their life was in danger, they didn't assemble in one place like many are proposing that we have to do today under the conditions we're in. God has given us this way of assembling through the means of hearing. Faith come by hearing. Now, assembling is important. But when life is in danger, the apostles sent them home and protected their lives. Even today, this morning, there are two silent killers that we should protect ourselves from and our neighbor. There's something called black ice on the road. If you saw, as I've seen on TV, and I think it was Fort Worth, 100 car crash, it's because people didn't take heed to the warning of the silent killer out there. See, black ice looks like water. It's deceiving. You don't know until you own it that it's going to kill you. Not only did it kill the people who took the risk of driving on it, it killed their neighbors. That's what COVID will do. This is the golden rule. It's a solid killer. You can't see it. What's the wise thing to do? Protect yourself and your neighbor. That's what we should be doing. That's what happened here in the Bible. They did just that. And now they're coming back together. Why? Remember, Saul has been converted. He's no longer trying to kill them. So now they're assembling again. It's right here in the New Testament for those who wonder. Will I get out on the road today? No, ma'am. No, sir. Am I going to drive when I know it's a potential? That I can ride out there looking like that the street is as safe as it looks. Am I going to go drive on that and take a chance of killing my family to get to the building? Oh, no, I don't think you would either. Because if I take the chance, I can kill myself and my children and my family and the people in the other cars. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? There are times when we have to scatter in order for the protection of the people. And that's what had happened here. Is assembly required? Absolutely. Are we assembling right now? Yes, we are. Through the hearing of God's word. I said, I'm glad the blind man don't have to worry. You don't have to see to believe. He has to hear. Now, when we are able to assemble as they were, it's time to come back together. When there's no longer danger, we come back together and we are to do the word of the Lord. Many members will suffer because they don't come together and assemble. Brothers and sisters, if I miss anything more, nothing, I'll say, I miss nothing more than coming together with your family. When you're going through something, or you lose a loved one, or you need someone, the church family. I know many of you, like me, realize how valuable that every day coming together on Sundays, on Wednesdays, and the smiles and the hugs, all the things we're missing now. I think God is allowing us to see how important that each member of the church is to each other when we need each other, when we need that support, when we need comforting one another. God gave assembly to us for a purpose, but he didn't give it to us with its danger. The assembly is required for those who become Christians. Hebrews 10:25 tell us to forsake not the assembling of the saints. And they didn't forsake it. They kept assembling in their homes and things of that nature. But when they would all come back together, we see it here now, they did it. So what happened that day? What happened there in Antioch? The Bible teaches that the Christians, they were called Christians first in Antioch. The Jews called those people who were followers of Christ, the Nazareans or Galileans, they called themselves disciples, brethren, or saints. But this new term that's bestowed on them by the Gentile, now that the Gentile, watch this part, now that the Gentile have come into the fold with the Jews, as I taught last week, God's plan was to bring all nations into one church, Ephesians chapter 3. So now, Jew and Gentile are all assembling in one church. Which church is it? Now, if you've been listening to me, you wouldn't ask that question. The only church they could assemble, I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the believers who believed this way, came together. And what they did, right here, they are now called Christians. And the hand of the Lord is with them. Are you a Christian today? Who will the hand of the Lord be on? Who's the them here? The Christians. Christians. Why did God wait to call them Christians? I believe that God would not be pleased with segregated churches. White, all black. That's segregation. What he did, Gentile and Jews had to worship together. Notice, there was no such thing as a Baptist Christian, a Methodist Christian, a church Christian, or Catholic Christian. They didn't call them none of that. They didn't call them Gentile Christian, Jew Christian. They didn't do that. God called them Christians when they all understood that there would be a new name given. Now, this was prophecy. In Isaiah 56:5, the Bible says, even unto them will I give in my house, within my walls, a place and a name better than of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. See, this name in Antioch is given in God's house. Who house? God's house. This name is within the walls of his house, which is his church. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 3, verse 4, for every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all in his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But notice this in verse 6, Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son, notice this, over his own house. Whose house are we? Christians. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. See, the house is the church. Christ is the husband of one wife. He's the head of the house. He's the head of the household. Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the head of the church. And he's the savior of the body. So his name, Christian, will be everlasting, never to change. Never to change. Are you a Christian? Are you in this house? That's the only way the hand of the Lord is going to be on you. That's the only way you're going to have favor, protection, and aid from the lost. Of dying, from the danger, rather, of dying in your soul, dying in your sin, excuse me, saving your precious soul. See, the Bible says, and those of who are non-Jew, that's us. I'm not a Jew, I'm a Gentile. Anybody that's non-Jew, you're a Gentile. But in Isaiah 6:2, Isaiah said this in the old prophets. Spoke about what was going to happen in Antioch. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Here it is. Prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah told them there was going to be a new name given. Here it is. What's the new name? Christians? What did they call them? Where did they first mention Christians in the Bible? Not in Acts 2 when just the Jews were being saved. No, not until after Acts 10. When God had to bring Peter to Peter's attention that there would not be prejudiced people in the Lord's church. And we better remember that. That God would not tolerate those who were prejudiced against any other nationality, color, or creed. Listen, we have to be careful. We're seeing this today. We're seeing it. But this was not nothing new. God dealt with them. He would not even refer to them as Christians until they got that right. Now that Peter was an apostle, understand it, God said, okay, now we can call you a Christian. If you have a prejudice bone in your body, you're not a faithful Christian. Just understand, I told you. In case I'm there judging you and I standing there, and you say, I didn't know. But if you were listening to me on this day, February 14th, 2021, I just told you that. I just told you. What is God's hand is with them. And because God's hand is with them, he said, I will now call you a Christian. In these days, Acts 11 back there, verse 27 says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Now see, God gave some apostles, some prophets, even in the New Testament there are prophets. And there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit there should be some great dearth, meaning a famine, throughout all the world. So this prophet said, hey, this New Testament prophet comes and says, hey, it's getting ready to be a famine all over the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, you know, when something happened all over the world, y'all, you can't just say man did that. It blows my mind how people can say, you know, this is a man-made thing with the COVID. God allowed plagues and released all over the world before. This is nothing new. Here it is again. A famine all over the world. All over the world. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. See, something we need to know about wearing this name. This name is a name of love for your brethren. We do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. The hand of the Lord is involved here. The hand of the Lord is involved upon them. And for those Christians who will be suffering from the famine, the disciples took action to help them because they had been told there was going to be a famine. And this is something we need to know. The disciples at Antioch extends their hand to relieve, to give them relief, to relieve and to give relief to the Jews of Palestine. Look at this. The tables have turned. The Jews are now being helped by the Gentiles. The Gentiles are helping Jews. Ain't that the way it should be in the world? That we help whoever under whatever circumstances they're in? That's what was going on here. Those in Antioch were primarily Gentiles. And now the Jews are gathered with them and assembled, and they got the message that there was going to be some suffering coming on them. And now they get together. They get together, such as whites and blacks in today's world, can come together for the best interest of anyone helping one another. See, here's the thing we must understand. The hand of the Lord is involved in suffering. What are you saying, Brother Brooke? Well, sometimes we got to understand God going to allow us to suffer. This is something Brother Stroud has been doing a great job for his people. But he said, if any man suffer, the best way to suffer is as a Christian. 1 Peter 4:15, listen to this. He said, let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's mind. In other words, don't suffer as a sinner. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, there's a time. It's mentioned again. He called them Christians. He said, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Is there somebody on the call this morning? You're suffering? Are you suffering because of sin in your life? That's not the way to suffer. Maybe you're suffering because you're not a Christian. If you're going to suffer, why don't you suffer as a Christian? Why? The hand of the Lord will be with you. Remember, when the hand of the Lord is with you, you get aid, protection, and favor. That's why you should suffer as a Christian. And when you suffer as a Christian, Peter said, don't be ashamed. You go ahead and give glory to God on this behalf, because I am suffering. The name of Christ. Maybe you're suffering this morning from physical illnesses or from mental anguish because of all the things you're going through and all of the different challenges we're facing. Maybe you're getting depressed. Or maybe you're getting agitated over everything that's going on in the world. It's mental anguish. Or maybe you're suffering from drug addictions or abuses of some kind or marital problems. Maybe you're suffering from financial problems because of everything. Maybe you're suffering because of personal problems, because only you and God know about it. Here's the point. We need to understand that when we suffer, we are going to suffer. There's no way around it. You want the hand of the Lord to be with you. All of us will suffer. But in our suffering, God gives us choice. Peter says, if any man suffer as a Christian, that's how you want to suffer. To suffer as a Christian is to suffer with the hands of the Lord with you. To suffer as a Christian is to suffer with God being there, protect you, give you aid, and get you through the suffering. But when you suffer, not as a Christian, you're suffering without God. You're suffering without God. And that's what this whole lesson is about this morning. I want the listening audience to leave with this on your mind. In this life, we will need the hand of the Lord, the favor, the protection, and the aid of God to help us through. I would like to persuade you this morning to seek the hand of the Lord, to know that you're going to suffer as these people were in Acts 11. But God sent them relief. Who did he send the relief by? Christians. They were called Christians. And Christians do what they got to do to help those who are in need. I would persuade you to become a Christian. Acts 26, 28 through 29, three times it is mentioned, Christian is mentioned, Acts 11, 26, 1 Peter 4, 16. And here in Acts 26, 28, listen to this. The Apostle Paul was trying, what I'm trying to do this morning, is to persuade men that are listening to him, she's preaching, to grab the hand of the Lord. In other words, to obey the Lord. When you grab the hand of the Lord, you grab favor, aid, and protection. And he was trying to do this with a man named Agrippa. In Acts 26, 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. I don't know how many times I've had people listen to me. They almost got there. They almost got baptized. They almost believed in the one church. They almost turned. But they didn't. Almost. Agrippa was almost saved. But Paul said to him in verse 29, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul said, I not only do I want Agrippa to be there, you need both almost and altogether. Not just almost, but 100% believing that the hand of the Lord is extended to you this morning. And I want to extend the invitation from him, if you can visualize my closing. And the visualization is this, that God extended his hand in John 3:16, which said, for God so loved the world that he gave, there's an extension, of help, favor, and protection. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And then Jesus came into the world, born of a virgin Mary, walked among men, did miracles, healed the blind, sick, raised the dead, and in the end of his life, last 24 hours of his life, he extends his hand to the world. He had to drink the cup of suffering. It was in the garden that he asked the Father, let this cup pass. But God had already extended his hand, and he wasn't taking it back. Then Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And then at that point, Jesus' will was to do the will of the Father. And he too extended his hand. And he left that garden only to be taken to trials. His hands are extended. He's innocent. Innocent hands would stand before Pilate, Sanhedrin court, Caiaphas. Nobody could find anything wrong. He's clean in his hands. He extends a hand of salvation to the world. He extends his hand when he stood before Pilate. He was extending his hands when Pilate commanded that they gave the order to beat him with the whip, to scourge him. And he took the beating, and stripes were left all over his body from the whip, and blood flowed from his the stripes on his body. He was extending his hands when they put the crown of thorns on his head. Can you see it? He's extending his hands as he's trying to carry the tree of the cross to the hill of Calvary. Can you see it? He's extending his hands when he was beaten and he barely could make it. They had to get somebody to help him carry that tree. He was extending his hand when he got to Calvary, where the soldiers would drive nails in his hand that he extended to the world. When he could have called 10,000 angels, he didn't. He took the pain in the left hand as they drove the nail. He took the pain in the right hand as they drove the nail. He took the pain in his feet as they drove the nail. Can you see him? And then they lifted him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. Now his hands are extended, stretched out on the cross, calling all of us to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Somebody want the hand of the Lord this morning extended to you? Receive it with meekness. Believe, number one, that he died on that cross for your sins according to the scripture. And that he was buried after he died, and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That became the greatest news that the world could hear, that there's a Savior with hands extended and blood shed it. Blood flowed from Emmanuel's veins. That blood then will wash away our sins, according to Revelation 1 and verse 5. That same blood purchased the church, which is the church of Christ. Acts 26, 28. The Bible teaches that blood purchased the church. It purchased the church. And so here we are today. I'm extending this invitation to those who want to receive with meekness God's word, to receive his extended hand to you. Come unto me, Jesus, call you this morning. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. When you come this morning, who should come, Brother Brooke? Those who have heard. Romans 10, 17, Acts 15, and verse 7. What did they hear? The word of the gospel. Number two, they should believe. What should they believe? The word of the gospel. Number three, they should turn. Luke 13, 3. Repent as a third step. His hands are stretch. He's not willing that we perish, but that we all come to repentance and understand that's a decision that every individual must make for his or herself. Then you must confess. Be willing to make a confession. You believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And when you make that confession, you'll do as the eunuch said in Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you want to be baptized, you would have to make that confession. We would ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you would answer in affirmative, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, you believe that because of your faith in the Bible, because that's what tells us who he is. You don't believe that because you ever met him personally. You can only believe that because of this book. If you believe that, then you believe, as I talked about earlier, in Revelation 1:5, that in baptism you're getting ready to get your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. In Acts 20:28, I gave the wrong scripture a while ago, but it's Acts 20:28, where he says, take heed unto yourself, and all the flock with the Holy Ghost, and made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased, notice, with his own blood. That blood was the hand of the Lord extended to the saved, to those who want this aid, this protection. They want this grace that Barnabas saw that happened in Antioch because the hand of the Lord was with them. It was extended to them. It was extended to you this morning. After you hear, believe, repent, and confess, you must be baptized. Why? That's what the Lord said, preach. That's what the Lord said, obey. You have to obey. And being obedient is mean you do what God said do. In order to become a Christian, you have to be baptized. So I said, Brother Brooks, I was baptized, but I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. Well, there's only one true baptism. Ephesians 4:4. There's only one true Lord, one true faith, one true God, one true body. That body is the church. Yeah. If you weren't baptized, if you were baptized before, but you're not a member of the Church of Christ, then you didn't get the right baptism. No, ma'am, no, sir. And like I did when I was young. But when you obey the truth, you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then the Lord takes over. The Lord will add you to the church. The Lord's not going to add you to a church a man started. He won't do that. He will go back on his own word. And God cannot lie. He'll add to the Lord. Add to the body. Add to the church. God takes over. Once you go into the water, everything under the water happens. That's all God doing. That's the hand of the Lord. He's washing away your sins. You receive the Holy Spirit by obedience to it. Not that it's going to control you, but you obey in the word. That's how you obey the Spirit. And then the gift is eternal life. You cannot have salvation without being born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. You have to be born of the water, but you cannot enter or see the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you're on the call, you say, Brother Brooks, I need the hand of the Lord with me right now. I got a lot of stuff going on. Well, first of all, I'll say to the visitors, you do that by the five steps I just gave you. And then as Barnabas exhorted those who were baptized in Antioch, I exhort you, be baptized. And then live according to the scripture. Live faithful to God. If you make a mistake, you got to get up and keep going again. This is to visit Christians now. The hand of the Lord is still willing, but God is not willing that we perish. He's willing not to perish. He wants us to come to repentance. That's what the Lord wants. If you're a member of the church, all you got to do is repent, confess your fault, and the hand of the Lord will be with you again. Can't be in and out of the church and keep the hand of the Lord with you. You got to be faithful. So that's what we're teaching this morning. So again, to the visitors, we get ready to have an invitation song by David Hill. We have an invitation song. What we want you to do, if you want the hand of the Lord and you want to be baptized like our brother did yesterday, we'll meet you at the building, take care of that for you, or call somebody close to wherever you live. It don't have to be here in Houston. And tell them, I want the hand of the Lord with me in my life right now. Too much going on. I don't want to walk without the Lord. You hit 5-star on your phone and give us your name. And be willing to make that confession when I ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And then we'll make arrangements, get you baptized today. Oh, yeah, some kind of way today we can make it happen. So we are praying, if you want to come, that you'll let us know. If you're a member of the church and you need to make a confession or prayer request, at this time we have an invitation stone.